We will call to order the council meeting for January 26th. If everyone would stand for the pledge.
To the flag, United States of America, to the republic, which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, justice, for all.
Remain standing for prayer. Can we have a roll call?
Vice President Brown?
Here.
President Chapman?
Here.
Mr. Clark?
Here.
Ms. Morris?
Here.
Ms. Rose?
Here.
Mr. Salters?
Here.
Mr. Sebring?
Here.
Mayor Yoakum?
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I would move that we add one person to the agenda, and that's Mark Hill, speaking on behalf of the Knox County Bicentennial Committee. We have Kent Utt already scheduled on the agenda under new business. I would ask that both of these reports be moved up under petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. So we would have Kent Utt speak first, and then Mark Hill speak second. So that would be my change to the agenda.
Second. Oh, sorry, Scott.
Go ahead.
I'm too quick.
Go ahead.
Second.
Okay, all in favor of the...
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And I would like to add to the agenda Ordinance 34-2014, the technicality with the salary ordinance that we need to address.
Where are you adding that?
We can put it at the end down here, right there, right before we approve the claim.
So item C under new business?
Yes, item okay. C. 34-2014.
Second, and with that change, I'd move the agenda be approved.
Call for the question. Again.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, the agenda is adopted as amended by a vote of 7-0. Next is approval of minutes from the January 12th meeting.
Mayor, I move that we approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring to approve the January 12th minutes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And they are approved by a vote of 7-0. Next is petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Have Mr. Utt come up first.
And we welcome Kent Utt, who's president and CEO of the Knox County Community Development Corporation. Understand the purpose for the annual report.
All right, thank you. Thanks so much for allowing me to come up and give a report. This is actually the first time I've done this to this body and new to the position as well. I took over for Gary Gentry, who retired in August last year, so been on the job about 5 months. So I want to thank you guys for your continued support and really provide this opportunity today to give you kind of a report from the community on what some of the things that KCDC has been involved in, and just to give you a little bit of structure around KCDC. And one of the first things that I did or had been working on for a while is a master plan. And I think, Cheryl, do you have does everyone already have a copy of that? Great. To kind of, more than anything, kind of gives us an idea of where we've been, you know, and KCDC started in and in the early 80s. Many of you guys were around to remember that, and some were not. Some may not even been born yet in the early 80s, but that's when it started. And if you look on page, the first page of this, it kind of gives a background of what KCDC has done. We have 51 members. We were just talking about that before we started in here, but a week before last, I was at Ball State at an economic development conference, and they talked about board makeup and some of the things there, and one of the things that came up was the size of our board. And we do have an extensive board, and I think the best part of that is it allows many people, many business leaders, and within the your plan there today, there is a list of all of our board members, and we have some here this evening and some represented on your panel as well, that as you can see, there's just a lot of people within our board that allows and gives us additional opportunities to network and to look for opportunities within the community. Where our structures were funded in part by the city, thank you, Knox County also, and private memberships. We have 140 private members, and that's the other thing that as I network with my peers is that it's pretty impactful when you see that many individuals are paying from private organizations to donate to the KCDC. So they see the value, you know, so you look at what does KCDC give back, and that's where some of the things I want to go over today as well. We also have some lease and rental income from the land that we own out in Industrial Park. We currently have 41.2 shovel-ready acres, which is just north of the Futaba plant out there. And we also have another 48 acres that's not shovel-ready that we bought last year that we refer to as the Lewis property right behind Winfield, right across the highway from Winfield Solutions. Some of the incentives that we look for is job creation, property tax abatements. We've worked through some of that. U.S. Highway 41 industrial park purchase price adjustments, and then also just overall quality of life. I want to reference, really kind of go through some of the successes, if you will, on some of the things that have happened over the past years, and really just again give an update to you all and the community as to what all KCDC's had its hand in. And I'm now referencing page 4 of the master plan, if you look at the bottom there, page 4 and page 3. As you look at the industrial parks out there, Isaac K. Beckus, again, Mr. Beckus, some vision there, and some community leaders said we need an industrial park to help with some of the development that we have. And as you look there, there's now 13 businesses that are operating out of the Beckus Industrial Park that makes up 14.2 million in salaries, annual payrolls, and over 528 employees that represent are represented in the Beckus Industrial Park. You have some of the bigger ones out there are the Youth Village, which has 170 employees at 4.5 million, and then Lewis Bakeries has been there. They're up to like 97,000 square feet, and they employ 125 for 1.7 million in payroll. The other U.S. 41 Industrial Park was then purchased after basically the Beckus Industrial Park became full, and went on to see the need, again, vision from the community leaders that we needed additional places to house potential workers, and some of the successes that came from there. We actually built a shell building in the mid-90s, it was actually built in the Beckus Park, but that was one that was built, I think, around 95, and it now has Excel USA occupied in it. So they're up now. They've expanded two different times and employ a little over 100 people, and they're a good operation there. And again, for the U.S. Industrial Park, we started there in 2001, Futaba. That's when they came, so a little over about 14 years with the time that they first arrived here. They started out in a 117,000 square foot office and ended up with, started out with 75 employees. And now, after many, you know, additions, additional presses, relocating people from Chicago area, and additional acreage of ground, they're up to currently 800 associates for over $36 million in payroll. So pretty impactful as you look at some of the sources of funds that help municipalities. Is, you know, obviously a big portion of that comes from EDIT, and those dollars are the payroll dollars are all generate income for the municipalities. Another more recent success out in the U.S. in 41 Industrial Park has been Farbest, and I think we've all seen progression of the far best and the benefit that it's provided to the community here. Their original investment just for that tract of land that they had out there was $84 million in property, plant, and equipment, and ended up with 360 employees. They're just doing one shift now for over $12.5 million in payroll. The other big opportunity there was that they are the biggest client now of the USB. I just went sat down with this with Kirk Bushy the other day and looked at the revenue generated from this project that was brought in, and $1.5 million in annual revenue is what that is generating, an ongoing revenue for the USB. So again, infrastructure, we had to actually more or less spent almost every dollar we had to get the infrastructure in place for the Far Best project for the sewer. We were awarded a EDA grant to pay for a portion of that, but there were still additional dollars that we needed, and it's a good thing that we did have that money, you know, that we'd set back from being good stewards of that to spend on getting the infrastructure in place. In addition, JFS Milling is another company owned by Far Best. They located in the Bruceville area, another $20 million investment there, and they have over 20 employees for over $1 million in payroll. They're up to 6 days a week, so that is a big benefit to not only the community of Vincennes, but the Knox County in total, and as you look at all the agriculture business and all that, that's been a great outlet, and I think what I've been told is they're very competitive on their pricing, just has to have it has to be dry when it gets there, it can't be wet, so it's another big deal. And the border houses that they have, and one of the most recent ones we did, or the most recent that they broke dirt on here just recently, was McAllister. They just purchased 12.2 acres of real estate out there in our industrial park, just south of the fire station. They're going to anticipate $12 million in property, plant, and equipment, and another employ about 14 people for $700,000 in payroll. And they're going to keep their site that they have in Bicknell in functioning, and it's going to be more agricultural based, where this is going to be more commercial based. Many other partnerships we've had as you look through the history, and that's why I prepared this, just to share with you all some of the things that we've been tied to. And I was on the board as a volunteer prior to taking this as a professional position, and quite frankly, you kind of forget about some of the things that we have had our hand in, we being KCDC, with the help of the city and the county and the private memberships, been able to gain for the community. You look at Golden Rule, they moved over here in, I believe, in 2008. They are now at $3.9 million in payroll and 91 associates there, what they're continued to have. Shot Gemtron, we've partnered with grants and for them, so together they have, the Shot has 125 employees, $6.1 million, and Gemtron has 265 with an annual payroll of $14 million. We certainly can't forget the Duke Energy Power Plant that's occupied now in Edwardsport, and we were a big proponent of that. I think many probably in the room remember going over there and taking IV coach buses over there to support some of the deals over to Bloomington to ensure that plant was located here, and that's $3.6 billion. The other thing there, that I think the plant in Edwardsport was down to about 20 associates when the old Edwardsport plant was there, and now they're up to 171 highly technical jobs for a total of $13.9 million. So if you do the average on that, their average salary for the utility company over there is around $81,000 a year, so substantially over our per capita income rate for the community. I mentioned Excel USA. Another one and there's so many good things to talk about, so I am sorry, I'm going to go over a little bit here, not too much. I won't do the hour deal, but and Mark's going to hit me if I go much longer, but Pioneer Oil. I mean, how could we not talk about what's going on with Main Street downtown with Pioneer Oil? And then again, that's a company that's based in Illinois. I think probably many of you have met Don Jones and his family. It's a fifth generation family business there. They are absolutely transforming some of the things that are going downtown. I mean, that Hills building, I remember going there as a kid, hiding in the clothes rack, and my mom chasing me around trying to find me. But that's a 35,000 square foot building. They're probably going to be putting between $125 and $150 a square in it, so you can do the math of what that's going to be looking like for downtown. Along with that, they're bringing 35 to 40 administrative jobs, but in addition to that, there's another 200 employees that will be now housed in Indiana versus Illinois. So their total payroll, they're looking at about $19 million in total payroll that will be, again, paying out of state, in-state Indiana taxes and added taxes, et cetera, that go along with that. And we partnered with the city of Vincennes to provide an incentive for them to locate for parking, actually. So we together came up and gave some incentive dollars for Pioneer to do that. That starts this year. Also, some other things we contribute to. We contributed on behalf of with the city for $186,000 for the levy system, and I know Kirk was here not too long ago and gave a report from that report. So another good use of our dollars to see that, you know, our levy's in good shape. We also partnered with Military Museum, and again, you can see several of these others on here. The other big initiative that we have going on right now, which I think's a one to really build upon, is the Knox County Partnership. Years ago, we'd looked at this when the economy, before the economy started going bad in 2008, we'd put together a partnership group, and then we reacquainted them again and had some grants available through OCRA that helped fund this. But we were looking at basically the first round was looking at soft skills of worker. So the workforce was lacking some soft skills. They didn't know how to show up on time, how to dress for interviews, and those type of things. So we used some grant dollars to formulate plans for those individuals. And then after that, it kind of disbanded there for a couple years. And now that we're in another situation where our workforce is, our unemployment level is around 4.9%. So we, again, thought the need or saw the need to reacquaint this group. And now we have about 35 members that are that have met. We've met two times. The group is made up of our largest manufacturers. Of course, Good Sam's on there. Vincennes University is represented. And the other larger manufacturers in place, and the education, all four of the county, or three county and private, one private school, are all at the table and have been really engaged in the process. And that's the part I think I like the most. The last meeting that we had, all the educators came up and gave a synopsis of what all vocational programs they already have in place. So it was well received from the manufacturers. Our next meeting in February, the manufacturers are going to come to play and talk about what skills are they looking for, what are the gaps in skill set for many of the their jobs, because they have many openings right now. And that's the biggest opportunity I believe that we came from this, is there is a gap in that technical skill. And you know, there's a rather large portion of our students not going on to get a four-year degree, so there's still work available for them and with the proper skills. So that was pretty important. We are adding, let's talk to Becky about this today, I'm going to ask the school to send a couple students, potentially a junior and juniors in class, to join our group, because we keep talking as a group, and I'm getting some gray hair and losing some hair here, so I'm getting some age on me. But if I have kids in the high school age group, that, you know, we keep talking about what do they want, what do they need, and we really need to get them on our committee to have them tell us. So the millennial group, those individuals that are looking at quality of place, some of those type of things, we need their input on to what's going to help drive some of the future success. So real excited about that opportunity for the Knox County Partnership. And quite frankly, we're kind of ahead of the game. When you talk to some of the peers that I had from other economic development areas, there's a lot of people talking about workforce, but not many people are doing things. And it is kind of the big elephant in the room, if you would, because there is, which is a kind of a, kind of the good and the bad that goes along with it. The good is our employment level is extremely low, and our per capita income has continued to rise. And that, if you look in the last few pages of this report, on page 6, it talks about our employment and our employment levels. And like I said, when the time of this report was September, we were at 4.4%, which ranked us one of the better ones in the state as far as the unemployment numbers are concerned. You look at our commuting patterns on page 7 of this report, and we have a fair amount of, we're actually seeing a net gain of employees coming from out of county. The only county, local county, that we see a net loss to, and I'm talking about the number of workers coming in from a county versus that we're sending them for employment, is Gibson County. And you would expect that from Gibson County because of Toyota, you know, with the number of employees that they have there. So we've been working, Mayor Yoakum and others have been reaching out to Sullivan County, because their unemployment is one of the worst in the state. So we've looked to them, and they've had, their mayor, Clint Lamb, has been down to both of our meetings, and we've also recently talked with Van Gogh representatives on what could we do to potentially even utilize a transportation network to get them down here. So nothing's inked out there yet, but still a lot of good dialogue going on, and it was neat to see, again, Clint going to both of those meetings, and he brought one of his city council members with him last time to just hear some of the things that we had going on. Per capita income, another measurement that we have as an economic division within the state, is some numbers that we can really be proud of as a community. In 1990, we ranked 59th in the state as far as the percentage of per capita income. In 2003, we're 36th in the state, and in 2013, we now rank 15th in the state, which places us 106% of the state average. So our average per capita income for 2013 in Knox County was right around $41,000, compared to the state at 38.6. We're a little bit behind the national average, but as far as the state's concerned, we've seen 173% increase from 1990 to 2013, compared to the state increase of 121% and national average of 131%. So drastic increase, and as you look at those, that's what it's, you know, as you look at families and how they support themselves and all that, that's really where it's at. Another thing that I put in here for stats purposes is educational attainment. We rank higher than the state as far as people that have associate's degrees and those that have intended associate degrees, and would make sense with Vincennes University being here close. We do lag behind the state average with those with bachelor's degrees, and I know that the schools are working closely with Vincennes University. I think Vincennes Community School has been awarded the Early College Initiative, which allows, you know, and again, I can speak for my own two kids, I mean, both in high school, that my daughter's going to come out, graduate from North Knox this year. She's a senior with enough credits to really be a sophomore coming out of school. So that's a big break, and as far as financial break, it's amazing too, because I just cut a check yesterday, $75 for a class. It's substantially cheaper than what it's going to cost in the long run. The other thing I wanted to bring everyone's attention to was on the first page of this. It's not really labeled a page, but it's a display, and we shared this with our full board last meeting that we had. And here's a kind of synopsis, and a commercial or marketing, if you will, of what KCDC's done over the last several years. But again, I mentioned that the Beckes Industrial Park, responsible for 528 employees, $14.2 million, 13 businesses are still thriving out there. US 41 Industrial Park, another six businesses there, although those six businesses represent 1,240 employees for $53 million in annual payroll. There's been at least $240 million of capital infrastructure put into the US 41 Industrial Park over the last year, you know, counting what I just reported with Farbest. I mentioned the 51, the per capita income increases just a few minutes ago in the unemployment numbers. But you also look at, this is the number that I guess was the most staggering as I went through and just looked at the numbers, and being a prior banker, I'm a numbers kind of guy. But you look at those total together, if you look both Beckes and US 41 Industrial Park, they represent 768 employees and $67.2 million in annual payroll, and that represents 9% of our workforce. Again, 9% of our workforce is coming from things that if we didn't have the vision or if we didn't have that in place, that probably wouldn't have happened, or certainly wouldn't have happened at the timeline that we did. And that compares favorably to, if you look at the employment for like Good Samaritan Hospital, they employ 1,877 associates, by far our largest employer, and their annual payroll is around $96 million. And Vincennes University's at 1,100 employees for $50 million. The last thing, that's kind of the history of where we've been. Many of those things have happened in the last few years, as you look at the timeline of those, but you can't forget, again, the vision that we've had as a community, and again, the 51-member board, and the public servants like yourself that have said, you know, we're going to dedicate resources, we're going to dedicate dollars, because if we don't do these type things, then we kind of sit in limbo, and we're just anticipating things to happen. So thank you again for your willingness to see the future. And if you look on the page, what I've labeled page 2 here, this is kind of a moving target, but there's basically almost $4.4 million worth of initiatives that could happen over the next few years as we get things ready for future growth for Knox County. You look at the first one, I'll reference the third one down here. We're in process. We just signed a purchase agreement to purchase additional 50 acres in our US 41 industrial park. It's kind of hot off the press there because we just got this signed last week. So we are in the process of expanding that. Along with that requires, and that's going to put us in pretty good light as you look at the state. The state looks at, has different sites available throughout, almost every county has sites available. But with this, we have the infrastructure in place, or most of it, or it's within very close distance because we already ran the water system through in front of that when we did the Far Best, but the sewage line is really close as well. We can get this potentially shovel ready in a very quick manner. So we'll have another, and if we wouldn't have had shovel ready status and we were recognized at one of the IEDA conferences I went to by the state as if one of the few communities that had shovel ready status, and it basically was the difference, the deal breaker in Far Best locating here by having that ready to go. So we're, like I said, we're in the process. We've negotiated with the family that owns that, and we've had the purchase agreement signed. So we're going to meet tomorrow as a finance group to see where we go and how the cash flow works for that. Another economic initiative would be to bring additional shovel-ready status to that property in addition to the Lewis property. So by connecting that, we'll work to get some easements in place so our Lewis property now is captured by the property that we just purchased, so we'll have a more or less 100 acres in addition to that. It's going to take some time to get the vendor works completed for that, but pretty optimistic that that's going to happen. And they do designate different designations of readiness when it comes to shovel ready, and the gold is the highest status you can obtain, and it's a pretty good differentiator if you can get to that status when you're looking at site selectors when they're trying to locate in our community. Another one, the Beckus industrial building, we have Winfield Solutions has been located there for the past 16 years. And at the end of this year, they decided to consolidate some operations. So we have a vacant building of 25,200 square foot building and have had a lot of good interest in the building. So been in negotiations with a couple different individuals and look to have something potentially in place there within the next, hopefully next, don't hold me to it, next few weeks. But I mean, there's some good prospects, and we again have to work through this as a board and look at what's going to benefit the community the most and who we put in this that particular location. But I'm real optimistic with the level of interest, because when I first heard that, you know, we found out, I mean, not too long after I was in this position, I get a notification that they're leaving, you know, that building. I'm thinking, oh no, that was a good revenue source for us. But in the end, it's going to be, I think, something that's good, because actually Winfield Solutions only employed about four people there. So another deal. Another initiative that we're looking at is kind of going on the same theme that we had back in the mid-90s with the industrial park at the Beckus building. We're looking at potentially doing a shell building in the US 41 industrial park. About two-thirds of all the requests that come through the state want an existing building. And I know that sometimes that's kind of scary when you're looking at using dollars to build a shell, but it seems to be the trend when someone is ready, you know, a business is ready to pull the trigger and they're ready to locate somewhere, they want that building in place. So we saw success with this in the past, and again, two-thirds of the awarded contracts come from existing buildings. They want a building. The existing Winfield Solutions building is a little bit small for what they're wanting. It seems like the most appropriate size building is around that 40,000 square foot. That's expandable to at least 100,000 square foot. And if you look at the history of some of our successes, that's about where they've landed. Lewis Bakery is around 100,000. XL USA is around 100,000 square foot. So those are all initiatives that will potentially take additional dollars from our from us. And I talked about the Knox County Workforce Partnership as well, and we've allotted some in our budget to allow for those meetings and so for additional opportunities there. So that, I'm not sure if I hit the timeline or not, but that's a pretty detailed report of about 30 years worth of KCDC. Any questions?
Well, Kent, not a question, and there are certainly lots of great news there, so I appreciate you sharing that with us, and I encourage members to go through this report, you know, at their leisure in more detail. But the one thing that really stands out to me is I think it was just last week, there was a report in the state news media, got quite a bit of coverage about there's been increase in employment in the state of Indiana, but household income had actually declined in the state. And looking at your page 8, where we see the income rising fairly substantially here in Knox County. So we're not only these kind of investments are not only generating jobs, but they're generating the types of jobs that are at higher income that can sustain a family and make for better communities. So certainly, salute your work and the work of KCDC. It just emphasizes the fact you've got to make the investment in order to ensure a good future. You can't, during your business, you can't sit back and rest on your laurels. It's always what's the next deal out there.
So. Absolutely, and thanks for noticing that, because it is substantially, that was one of the key measurements as you look again as economic development. And when you reach that hiatus of that, you're 106% of the state average, you're not going to get those exponential numbers going forward. I would love to, but if we have more 81,000 average jobs come in, we could, but the fast on there. But
that also was a goal of KCDC stated several years ago, is they just didn't want jobs, they wanted good paying jobs, so that goal has now, is working.
Come to fruition, yeah, you're right.
That 2013 per capita income of being 15th in the state, I can remember even before 1990, I think it was much higher. We used to fare usually in the bottom 10 in the state in those type of figures, so it seems to have jumped quite well. So we've got several good problems here. We've got a lot of jobs to fill without the people, and that's really a good problem when you think of what the opposite could be. And plus, we don't have any land left in the industrial park for the most part. So that's something that a lot of communities wish they had. So
yeah, I guess this is going to make me look like a redneck, but I guess that since Shelton was just on Saturday Night Live, it's like hee-haw, as like Grandpa would say, oh, that's good, no, that's bad. They'd be out there washing the windows and saying that, but it truly is. It's a good situation to be in, that we're now, we're leading the state in our per capita income. We're leading the state in unemployment numbers, and the capital investments have been there, and we're seeing private membership step up, Pioneer wanting to come over here. And I know there's been some things Illinois hasn't done exactly right that has attracted, more people to Indiana. But in talking to Steve Miller, their CFO, one of the things that he said, and he reiterated in several meetings that I've been with him in, is that it's quality of place that he's coming over here for. He wants to have the downtown atmosphere. He wants that that acquaintance with downtown that I had when I first started the bank in 1988, that you fought for, you came in early to fight for a parking spot downtown because there were so many jobs in that. So, and he wants that ability for his employees to network and to go out to lunch and those type of things. And that's something to be extremely proud of too, as a city and as a community.
Anybody else? And I just want to say, great presentation. I think this proves that every dime the city spends and invests in KCDC is money well spent.
Thank you, sir.
And the cooperation between everybody is great. Thanks, Kent.
Appreciate
you.
Thanks.
It's going to be a hard act to follow.
Although seriously, listen to your remarks, Kent. I was part of the council that when we made that original commitment to giving half of our EDA dollars to this process, and I stood firmly behind that, and I'm proud of the commitment this council made at that time, and it's obviously paid off. So kudos to everybody that's been involved. I'm on a much lighter subject, but I think of some importance as well. So good evening, Mr. Mayor, and Mr. Culp, and Mr. Ryan, mayor, staff, and members of the city council. As the Knox County Coordinator of the Indiana Bicentennial Committee, I've asked your president and the mayor for this brief opportunity to present an open invitation to the public to participate in the bicentennial of our great state in 2016. It's called Celebrate History, Ignite the Future. The state has created a project that has four pillars of participation: history and celebration, youth and education, nature conservation, and community involvement. In addition, the state is looking to promote local events that do either exist or are original in nature that would be tied to one of these pillars and are promoting of the bicentennial period. These are called legacy projects, and locally we have submitted the Rendezvous and the Muster as existing festivals that will be uniquely tweaked to celebrate the bicentennial. We'll be submitting similar festivals, such as those held at Grouseland, as other signature events. An example of the legacy project for the Rendezvous is that we've already selected themes for 2015 and 2016. This year's theme that Mr. President will be proudly associated with is the Buffalo Trace, because Dwayne loves buffaloes. And next year's theme, that's an inside joke. Next year's theme will be John Small, who was an important historic figure of the bicentennial time frame, who was locally a gunsmith and was the first sheriff of Knox County and, of course, of Indiana. His gun will be part of the traveling state museum that will be going around the state, featuring the original Constitution and other important artifacts. And our expectation is that that traveling museum will be here in 2016 during the Rendezvous on Memorial Day weekend. This gun is typically displayed at Grouseland. Another example that we just introduced at the Breakfast Bandwagon was the Watermelon Drop Committee would like to be a legacy project, and that would ensure that we would have the very first legacy project in 2016 here at the stroke of midnight as we drop those watermelons. So we're looking for other unique ways to celebrate the bicentennial in Knox County, such as the 4th of July parade, and the fireworks would be an excellent example. A second opportunity in the bicentennial celebration will be the torch relay. I've given some of you in the audience and the members of the council information about the bicentennial website and the torch relay. This will be traveling through, like the Olympic torch, throughout 92 counties in September and October of 2016. This begins in Corydon, which was the original state capital, and ends in Indianapolis. We're excited to announce that the torch will be coming to Knox County on 2 days, arriving in southern Knox County on September 11th, a unique date to say the least, in the late afternoon, which is a Saturday, and it will travel through Vincennes, down Willow Street to 2nd and 1st Streets, passing the majority of our state and other historic sites, and arriving at Grouseland for an overnight stay. It will leave the next morning traveling to Pike County, and we'll pass by the Red Skelton Museum and then on to Vern and Monroe City on Highway 61. Plans are beginning to form around the receiving and departing ceremonies, as well as unique opportunities to display and pass the torch as it makes its way through our county. Walkers, runners, and vehicles of all kinds will be carrying the torch, representing our diverse history and local culture. We may have, for example, military vehicles, combines, watermelon buses, clown cars, stagecoaches, revolutionary characters, Native Americans, and War of 1812 soldiers. The sky in our imagination is the limit. There will be a formal process that will be announced later this spring as to the nomination process to select the individuals who will proudly carry this torch in Knox County. Our local committee is comprised of a number of citizens from around the county. We have city representation on that committee of the mayor, Mr. Beeman from our Park Service, Ms. Rose, and Mr. Chatton. The Honorable C. James McCormick serves on the State Bicentennial Commission, and that met here in Vincennes this fall at the Vincennes University campus. George Rogers Clark Superintendent Frank Duthman is our county chairman. State Commission is led by First Lady Karen Pence and former Congressman Lee Hamilton. As we proudly say on our committee, you can't get to 1816 without coming through Vincennes and Knox County. This is where history started, right here, right? We welcome any of the public to consider volunteering for this important program, nominating individuals as torchbearers, suggesting or sponsoring a new legacy project in their own community, or join any of our various committees and subcommittees that will be forming around this project. We encourage you to visit the state website, which is indiana2016.org. We welcome you to contact any of our committee members that I've mentioned, including myself and Superintendent Doofman at the memorial. We'll be holding some other town hall meetings throughout the county and other communities to promote the event this spring as further information becomes available. So thank you for your time on this project. The other thing I'd like to briefly mention, and I mentioned this to Mr. Ravalette, I serve on the Sister City Committee, and we met last night, and we're proud to announce that our Wasserburg German students will be traveling to Vincennes this spring, and they'll be appearing before your august body on April the 13th and be declared as honorary citizens of the city of Vincennes. So they'll be here from April the 8th through the April 16th, and we look forward, as we always do, to seeing them. Any questions, comments?
I'm curious about the high-tech special torch.
I listened in and watched on a webinar. This is unique. The state is going to develop three different types of torches for use on the relay. And of course, the caravan will carry an eternal flame, so in case the torch goes out, you can light it again like they do in the Olympics. One will be a typical Olympic-style torch. And by the way, I mean, obviously our state seal has a torch, so you can imagine that the torch is going to look something like this. But one will be a normal use. Another will be a high wind flame that won't blow out if you're carrying it on a vehicle like a train or a stagecoach or something, or if it's an extremely windy day. And the third will be a water-resistant torch, so that they actually mentioned this on the webinar, that if we decided that we wanted to go down the Wabash River or something, we could use it in and around water. Or, God forbid, if it's raining on some particular day, it won't throw out the torch. So there is actually some high-tech technology that's being involved with that. So it'd be cool. Yeah. So I think it's going to be exciting. We're really forward to it. And obviously, I mentioned a lot of unique ways, but sky's the limit. If you think of other things you think would be cool, please let us know. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, still under petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Does anybody have anything?
No, they go.
Not, we'll move on to committee chair reports.
The two committees will be meeting after this meeting discuss several different issues, one being the Budget and Finance Committee, and the other is the Public Health and Safety Committee.
Mr. Mayor, I did attend a meeting at 8 o'clock this morning, Knox County Solid Waste, and I have a copy of the meeting if anybody would like to read this. Also, Tracy Klinkenbeard will be at our second meeting in February to give her report.
Good. Any other committee reports? Now we'll move on to report of city officers. Laura wanted to speak. Give you some good news.
All right. Boy, we have good news.
Laura Ariel, Vincennes Animal Shelter. I just wanted to address the council and let you know that Vincennes Animal Shelter is now a part of PetSmart Charities Rescue Wagon program. And what Rescue, first of all, PetSmart Charity is it's a huge nonprofit welfare organization that their goal is to save the lives of homeless pets. And one of their programs is called Rescue Wagon. And what Rescue Wagon does is it goes into communities that has a high amount of animals that can't be adopted out fast enough. And they take those to communities where the animals have a faster turnover and they can get placed into homes much quicker. And So we've been working on getting on with that program for the last several months. We've been approved. We did our first transport on Tuesday, where we shipped 20 dogs to the northern states, Wisconsin, I believe. And me and two of my staff members went to Dallas and trained at the Dallas SPCA on some animal behavior so that we can assess adult dogs to be shipped on for transport. PetSmart Charity will be taking a minimum of 15 dogs a month from us. And there is no charge to the city for that. As a matter of fact, we will be reimbursed for vaccines, flea treatment, and deworming, and medical certificates that are required to cross state lines that the vet has to give. So that's all really great news. Last year, I kind of went by our year and our average stay for an animal was just like 117 days. And that's a really long time for an animal to live in a cage. And so this is going to hopefully cut that number way, way back if we can send these dogs with PetSmart Charities.
That's great. Great.
Any questions?
No? Okay. I'm good.
Thanks,
thank
Laura.
You.
Any other reports? Not, we'll move on to old business. First up is Ordinance 43-2014, amending Ordinance Section 73.20, riding on sidewalks.
Mr. Mayor, that will remain tabled pending the committee meetings after this council.
Ordinance 43-2014 remains tabled. Next is Ordinance 44-2014, amending Ordinance Section 50, trash by...
Well, Mr. Mayor, that Ordinance 44-2014 also remains tabled pending committee action following this meeting.
Next is Ordinance 1-2015, additional appropriation ordinance from EDIT for $8,766.77. We had first reading on January 12th.
Mayor, I move we have a second reading of Ordinance 1-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Sebring to have second reading of Ordinance 1-2015.
Ordinance 1-2015, additional appropriation ordinance containing Section 1 and 2, $8,766.77.
Discussion.
Mr. Mayor, let the record show that a public hearing was held at 5:45 tonight, and no one spoke for or against this ordinance.
Another discussion.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Yes.
Second reading of Ordinance 1-2015 passes by a vote of 7-0.
Mayor, I move we have a third reading of Ordinance 1-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Clark to have third reading of Ordinance 1-2015.
Ordinance 1-2015, additional appropriation ordinance containing Section 1 and 2, $8,766.77.
Discussion.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Yes.
And third and final reading of Ordinance 1-2015 passes by a vote of 7-2. Moving on to new business, we have approved 2014 encumbrances, $30,885.43.
Mayor, I move that we approve the encumbrances.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose to approve the encumbrances. Discussion.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
And that passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is Councilman Brown's payroll.
This is on the salary ordinance that we approved back in the middle of October, and if you remember correctly, what we did is we went ahead and approved the ordinances with the raises in there, and then at a later date we we agreed on a separate ordinance to more or less back that ordinance up. And Mr. Culp's received some correspondence from the State Board of Accounts that in essence says that the mayor's salary ordinance to establish the salaries of the police and fire department, and then the ordinance 42-2014 amends 34-2014, stating that the 2014 salaries should be paid into 2015 until DLGF makes a decision on our 2015 budget. So what we've got here is we've got, and the since we didn't have a separate ordinance for the elected people on within the city, we're being paid those fee, those that amount. Is that correct? Shame on us, huh? Yes. Well, and it's because we didn't have a separate ordinance is the reason that they couldn't do that. So what we're going to need to do is probably maybe wait until the ELGF should let us know in a couple of weeks if our budget has been approved, and then we'll be able to make a decision from there on those, if we're going to go ahead with the raises for employees. So is that your take on it?
It is now. It's the first I've heard of it. It sounds to be like an oversight of not both ordinances. That was
and the mayor.
Nobody get a raise.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So yeah, clearly that's the case. It was the intention of the mayor, city council, that elected officials would receive no raise that any other employee would receive. And so all we really need to do is to, since we're so close to perhaps the Department of Local Government Finance making that determination on our budget, as soon as they make that decision, I think we quickly put our heads together. If those raises go through, then not a problem. If we need to adjust rank and file raises in order to bring our budget into balance, clearly the elected officials will do whatever is necessary to bring our compensation at that level. So we'll get it resolved, but it was just an oversight of the drafting. So anyway, we'll get it fixed. We'll get it fixed. We'll get it fixed soon.
Any other comment?
So we can fix this when this when they do come out with this? I mean,
the legal mechanisms of how to do it, we may have to work through. Bottom line, however, if we can't do it through an ordinance, what we can do is simply set up a payroll deduction,
right,
much like you would do your United Way, and elected officials could put a payroll deduction so that that money, in fact, the raise money, would never even leave the general fund.
Right, and stay in the general.
So we'll get it solved one way or the other, and with a masterly legal mind like Dave sitting over in the corner, we will get that figured out. And he'll have a collection basket. It'll be another way to do it.
So that would be Dave Rollins.
Bottom line, we will take no raise that the rank and file employee does not take.
Absolutely.
So it will be figured out. One other item under, if that takes care of that?
Yes.
Okay. Just a reminder, I sent out an email, but anyone, the council that intends to go to the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns Roundtable, we have a one that's nearby, February 17th in Gibson County. Please see me after the meeting. We want to get the registration in very soon. But this is a close-by session. Should be very informative, and the price is quite low. So,
and with that, I would encourage every one of you to attend. There is a lot of good information that is handed out through IACT, and this is your opportunity to receive this information.
Anything else? No, we'll move on to claims.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve claims totaling $502,952.36.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose, to pay the claims in the amount of $502,952.36.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And the claims are paid by a vote of 7-0. Nothing under miscellaneous.
Move for adjournment.